Hey, hope you're having a great day. This is Elan, and very welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. And I'm joined by Finn from The Grounded Masculine. And Finn, how's your day going so far?
Yeah, it's been good, man. It's good. Yeah, really nice to jump on and reconnect.
Absolutely. Yeah. If anyone who's listened has listened to our previous podcast, we've done, I think, eight, maybe nine podcasts over the last couple of years. And yeah, the main reason for that is because we'd been working together, and Finn had been working with me as my head coach, and yeah, just so many different things have happened for both of us personally over the last couple of years. So I was really excited to hop on to be able to chat about things like that, and also just reconnect because we've both of us have been super busy the last few months with a lot going on, so we haven't really got to chat about stuff. So yeah, excited to be able to chapter today.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, and as you said, like it's good to be here. Like we've had some awesome conversations recorded on previous episodes. So yeah, looking forward to see what comes up today.
Yeah, for sure. So I was thinking, it'd be good to first address kind of what's going on with us, like business-wise, because like I mentioned, over the last couple of years we'd been working together, and like I said, Finn had been working with me as my head coach. And in the background, what a lot of people didn't realize, or maybe that we didn't talk about a whole lot, you had literally just moved from Australia to Ireland, literally like a few weeks before we connected for the first time, right?
So basically last 3 or so years has been pretty intense for us. Like we were living over here in Australia for 12 years, and so we had four amazing little or three little kids over here, and we decided to move back home to Ireland back 2 years ago. And as we were moving back home, that was when my wife Shona she got pregnant with our fourth. So when we got back to Ireland, what we thought going back was going to be a bit more of a kind of year to explore and to figure out if we were staying in Ireland or coming back to Australia and get to travel around and do lots of stuff. Like Shona ended up being pregnant, and it was a pretty tough pregnancy for her. So that was whenever I knew it was like, right, I want to reach out and like be able to support ourselves, support the family, and work with good people. So it's not just relying on my own business to be able to help navigate that time. And that's when I found you pretty much straight away. And like it was a match made in heaven. Like so it was awesome to be able to work with you for pretty much near it was near enough 2 years all up when I
Yeah.
was back in Ireland and for this first 6 months of being back in Australia.
Yeah, for sure. And it is, I look at it as pure luck that we even connected in the first place. Because I had literally just put up a free ad on LinkedIn, not even a paid one. So like the reach of them is absolutely terrible. And I had seven people apply. And as soon as I read the CV that you sent over, I was like, okay, how do I get in contact with this guy as quickly as possible?
It all happened pretty quick, like from like just one night late at night. I was like, all right, I need to look at a few options here and stuff. And like I found that, and I was like, that sounds really cool. Let's and just looked at your business, looked at what you've done. It's like that actually sounds awesome. So sent it all through, and yeah, within a couple of weeks, we'd start working together.
Yeah, so we got really lucky that way for sure. And obviously we share a very similar approach in terms of like really taking a holistic approach and focusing on sleep and training and food and self-care and managing stress and understanding, like taking into account mental health and all those things. So yeah, I feel super grateful. And yeah, I think as well, like you had, after the first, year or so being back, we had been discussing like long-term plans to figure out what was going to work best for us. So we had literally been working towards, us finishing working together for, it must have been about like 8 months. Like we had really projected into the future of like, what do we both want? Where are you going to be going? Are you staying in Ireland or not? And so it was great that we were able to, figure that out together and do, we're able to stop working together on really good terms, and there's like nothing negative that happened, and it was all part of the plan, and it was like, perfect pretty much. So
And I think that's a big thing, like even just to hone in a bit more on that point, it's like it's one of the most important pieces I see with collaborations, with friendships, with relationships as a whole, is like as like having healthy conversations and being able to like we set up a really safe container where we could have these open conversations, like, and like we could dream big, look for the future, look at all of these different options, but also like talk about what was going on and be really real with it. So like I think that's it shows the caliber of like when you're working on yourself, when you have that awareness of yourself, being able to then bring that into relationships, it just becomes so much easier. Whereas I think that's one of the things that a lot of people miss out on because they don't have that level of self-awareness, or they hold all of these other things in and then wonder why there's friction forming in relationships, be it like with colleagues, with friendships, with partners or whatever. So yeah, I think that's it's really you could really see like how that's worked out over the last year. Like it's yeah, it's all it was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know a lot of people got a lot of value from the support that you provided. So, you know, it was really cool. And so when was it that you actually made the decision to move back to Australia? Because you came back, it was like September 23, wasn't it? And then
Yeah, so it was September 23, and yeah, like as I said, like we initially like we absolutely loved our life in Australia, like, and that's the thing, like it was such a beautiful community that we were a part of. Like we're down in Denmark, which is in like the western part of Western Australia, so it's like a small enough little remote town just tucked away where the forest meets the ocean. So like it's a beautiful place to be. Like we absolutely loved it, but like being over here for 12 years, it was always that itch that was there, especially for my wife. And just as time went on, like it always came up. And like before, we were living up in Perth for 9 years. When we moved down to Denmark, it was like, right, this is it, this is what we want. But after a year of being down there, like Shona was like, oh, the itch is still there. And then like so it was her sister's wedding, then like a year or so after that, so we was like, right, let's go back home for Shona's her sister's wedding, and like when we go home, let's actually just give it a good crack and see, because like, there's so much that happened over the last 12 years. Like we haven't had spent much time with her family, like our families didn't really know our kids that well, it's just apart from through a screen. So it was just like, let's just go and see and figure it out. And yeah, that's what we've done. And like in fairness, like it was such an amazing opportunity. We absolutely loved it, but it was also a really challenging year and a half for us. Like again, as I said, Shona being pregnant, it was a very tough pregnancy for herself, and then all of the emotional toil that went on with that, like as like mothering three kids while being pregnant, it's a bloody tough job. And yeah, like it just like the more like it went on, like whenever our son was born in February 24, like we were like, we need to actually start looking big picture what we want. So then that just opened up the conversations of like, right, where do we see ourselves in the future? What does that look like? What does that feel? And although it was amazing being close to our family and having our family around there, like it's just big picture wasn't the life that we wanted for our kids and ourselves. So it was like that summer was when we made the decision. It was like, let's start putting things in place for that. And then it just all happened really quick from there. Like basically the school that we go to over here is like there's like you need to get back for January term, or else you're gonna lose your spot, because again it's a smaller regional town, like it's a smaller very it's amazing school, but it's like if you're not back there, like the spots are going to be gone. So that kind of put a fire up, or so it was like, right, we need to be back by like January 25. So yeah, that just put plans in motion pretty quick for us to make the move then.
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember I think we spoke about it around maybe like March or April. You were thinking like of making the change, but you hadn't like decided on it fully. And then like June or July, you were like, oh, I think a lot is going to happen quickly. And then by like you'd moved by like mid-November 24, right? So it was like very quick, especially, I mean, for anyone that's moved anywhere, like it's very stressful just doing it yourself and maybe with your partner, but to also do it then with four kids as well as your partner. And it's not like you're moving to, you know, it's not like me when I moved to Barcelona for a few months, that's 2 hour flight. You literally have to go the opposite side of the world. So it's a lot
Yeah,
of
like it was huge. Like it's looking back on it, like it's like just so many times over the last 10 months, like we've been back for 10 months now. Like it's just like it's just been such a whirlwind. And it's been such a big time for us. There's been so much change for us, but again, it's been such a beautiful experience to be able to go through that, navigate that, and come out the other side. And it's like, oh, we've survived it, so we're good. And like, if we can move through stuff like that, it's like I feel like it's just made our family so much more solid. But also for myself, like I've learned so much about the importance of looking after ourselves so that we can look after our family. Because again, it's one of the things in this line of work. It's like with so many of the women that are supporting with you, with the clients that are supporting myself through their own business, it's we lose ourselves in parenthood and the chaos of like having kids and having business and working and doing all of this stuff. It's so easy to get lost in all of that. But it's being able to have frameworks that you can go back to that's going to allow you to look after yourself first, so that then you can do all the other things is paramount.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I think it'd be good to talk about some of those frameworks of things that we implement. But I just noticed something for the first time. So you've got an oak tree right behind you. Correct? Yeah, because I noticed, I was like, I think that they're oak leaves, right? You want to say what the significance of that is?
It's like our one of our sons is called, his name is Oak, so it's from little acorns strong big old trees grow.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And you know, the funny thing is, Ilan, it has a lot of different meanings in different languages, but I'm pretty sure in Hebrew, Ilan actually translates as oak tree.
Oh,
And
no way.
yeah, the you know, significance of that, it's you know, to signify strength and stuff like that. So it's just really interesting, you know. So that's just something that just popped into my mind. I haven't thought about that in years, so that's funny how it just came up out with.
Love it.
But yeah, so like, well, all of those massive changes, like, you know, the stress and overwhelm of that is like you can't even like put it on a scale. So like, what did you find were some of the practical things you did that kind of helped to just center yourself and get kind of work through that?
The two main things is just stripping things back to the simple form. Like it's like I think in today's society and the way everything is set up now, like we're so much bombarded with so much information and all of this different stuff that we do, and this type of exercise, this type of like breath work, ice, like all of these different things that we should be doing, but we just get overwhelmed with all of the stuff that we should do, and like we end up doing nothing. So, and then we just fall back into our lowest form of like lowest common denominator, which is normally our self-soothing patterns. Whereas being able to actually strip things back to the basics and look at like do them really well. So, like that's looking at like what's your exercise like, what's your food like, what's your like self-reflection process. So, like I'm very big on journaling. And then something like breathe and kind of meditation. Like if you could get them sort of things in a baseline, just focus on them and do them really well, and the other stuff is going to fall in. But then the next layer of that, the next aspect of that is like be realistic with the expectations that you're putting on yourself. It's you can like we so often we put way too high of expectations on ourselves in especially in stressful times, and then we beat ourselves up when we don't meet the expectations, and then that just puts us down even more so with it. So it's like when I'm looking at that sort of stuff, it's like what's the best possible case scenario that I can do in these different pillars, and what's the lowest possible standard that I want that I can accept in them as well. So for me, it was like movement was my religion for the last couple of years, because that is what gets me into my body, that's what gets me out of my head, it's what helps me like regulate myself so much more. So it's like I made a commitment when I was in Ireland to like exercise every single day. But it's sort of changed. Like, what does that actually mean? Like, that's not smash myself for a really hard workout every single day, because that's what my brain used to tell me. That's what we used to think it was. But it's like, right, it's like work as like with that is looking at getting at least three solid strength sessions a week, getting like at least a run a week, getting like some recovery sessions where it's just nice stretch and gentle mobility or movement. Like it's looking at that, and it's actually it's like, what's that lowest minimum standard? So I know that I feel like going to sleep, I can say like I've done this, even though it was a big stressful day and I might not have had all of the time to do a perfect workout, but I still done X, Y, Z, and whatever that lowest minimal standard was for myself. So you're still getting the feel good factor, you're still getting the win, you're still prioritizing yourself, but you're also being realistic to the chaos of day to day life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's such a good point, you know, because I had a session with a lady earlier and she was like, you know, oh, I've just been so sick and run down for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, I had it in my mind over summer that as soon as September hit, I was going to be really like on point and going to make a lot of progress. And I was like, yeah, but if you look at what's been going on, you know, like she basically had just resumed work and she has 2 kids as well, and her husband is super busy, so she had a lot more time to focus on her work, her kids, as well as, you know, supporting her husband during his busy time. And obviously that all accumulates as stress and has a huge impact on her immune system. So I was saying to her, like, what we should do is, like, we'll do a bit of journaling and we'll map out each month of the year and look at your patterns over the past 2 years and see what months actually tend to be busier months and what months tend to be quieter months. So she had, even within a minute or two, was like, you know, January, I tend to be usually really busy. September, usually really busy. And I was like, so what'll make sense going forward is, like, you know now that January's and September's are really busy. So instead of being really unrealistic and putting a lot of pressure on yourself to have to do loads, why don't you just look at that as a self-care month and focus on maintenance? But then, you know, potentially February, March, April, and maybe November and or October and November, maybe they can be progress months, you know. And then straight away, you know, that actually makes so much sense. And so it's, you know, really gonna then help in future, instead of her being like putting so much pressure on herself to perform at the highest level all the time, that she'd be like, okay, I'm gonna just take a breath and let's focus on self-care instead of being, you know, super hard on myself. So I think it's just so important to, like I said, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the chaos that it's hard sometimes to take a breath to just like map things out. Like, what do I actually need right now, you know?
And I think that's the thing, like, and it's like even people that are listening to this, it's like we need to have give ourselves permission that it's okay to have a bit of a slower time to be able to recover and stuff like that as well, because again we're so conditioned into like that hustle mentality. And like that was one of the big things that it was a big eye-opener in Ireland, like seeing how far it's moved in that direction. It was like, whoa, this is really jarring, like it's how busy and how full everybody's lives are. Like that was something, like I know where we are, like it's like in Australia, like it is a slower mentality, it's a slower lifestyle compared to that. Like that was really, really jarring for us to step into that and try to see that. It's like this, like there's no awareness of the impact of people's nervous systems and like the expectations of what you're meant to do to like meet society where it is. So it's like I think it's giving yourself permission, it's okay to say no.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting looking at different cultures and the approaches. So in Ireland, it's definitely become a very live to work, not work to live. And I haven't been to Australia, but it sounds like it's the opposite, where it's very much focusing on living, not working, you know. I noticed the same thing in Greece. It was actually so funny when I was reconnecting with my dad and my sisters and stuff. I went over in August for a couple of weeks, and they're so like nonchalant about everything. And it's like, oh, you know, we'll be there at 8:30, and they arrive at like 9:30, or it's like, you know, no worries. And it's very much focused on relaxing and doing a bit of work here, but really focusing on just living and enjoying your best life, you know. So it's so interesting to see the culture difference, and how that also relates to people's mental health as well, because definitely people that I've met in Greece seemed much happier and just more joyful than here. And obviously the weather might have something to do with it too, but the culture is definitely like there's a big difference.
Like it's massive, like it really is, but like, and I think that's one of the things, it's like as you're starting to see these changes and like being able to make this change a bit more for yourself and like be a bit more gentle on yourself and some of that, it's like it is going to be going against what the norm is in society a little bit sometimes. So it's like it's being strong enough in yourself to say that. And like again, like it's, I know for ourselves, like we lived away from Ireland for so long, so we established certain value systems for ourselves. And like when we come back to Ireland, that's why we felt really strong being in them values, because we have lived them. And it was more accepted there. Whereas when you're kind of doing this in a different light, when you're constantly surrounded by it, it can be a little bit difficult. But it's looking at like where you can just move the goalposts a little bit for yourself, and just listen to yourself that little bit more with that, like, and be more gentle with yourself. And it does get easier as you start doing it. It's not trying, like, I'll put so many things like this into like the pendulum swing. It's like when we're over here too far on one side with the pendulum, I guess you don't have to swing the whole way over. Like, it's like, let's just move it over a little bit towards where we want it to be, rather than trying to go the complete opposite.
Yeah, no, for sure. And just on the topic of stress and overwhelm and stuff like that, I literally went out for like a 30-minute walk just before we hopped on the call, and I noticed all the kids going to school, and I was literally thinking, I used to absolutely dread going to school, like terrible. And once I started doing therapy, like 4 or 5 years ago, I had the realization that I was literally crippled by anxiety from a really young age. Like just the idea of going to school, being surrounded by so many people, like I really struggled with that. And there's even like in my second last year, I missed out on 24 days, and the school had even sent my parents a letter and everything. I was like, what's going on? Because I'd missed so much school time, and I just had so much anxiety. But at the time, that was like 2011, 2012, I didn't like know how to put a word on it. It was just like, I feel really bad and I do not want to go to school. And that was all related to just feeling overwhelmed and stressed by just being having so much to do and, like just not feeling like I could get through it. And so I think, and that's the big value of doing a lot of deeper work in therapy and kind of living an examined life, as my therapist calls it. It's like when you look back, you can start to see patterns that they might not just be there for the last year or two. They literally could be there since you're like 8, 9, and a lot from your inner child, so it's gonna be really, really powerful stuff to look at. And you can start to be like, wow, that's like, I have a much better awareness of like why I feel this way now, because it's been like that for many years,
And that's it. Like, it's such a big one. Like, it's like the more we can strip back the layers and understand why we do what we do, why we act the way we act, it just makes it so much, it makes it so much easier. Like, and that's one of the reasons why, like, coming from a sports physio background, like working in more of that clinical based mindset, like, and looking at like clients in that sort of way, and like, it's like there's way more to working with humans than just looking in that one dimensional aspect of it. It's like, yes, like we can bring in all our aspects of functional anatomy and stuff, but it's like I need to learn more about the psychology, more about the mindset side of things, and that's what put me on a big path down that route. And then, like, following the strings, looking at the nutrition and the circadian rhythm, and like looking at all of these different things, like we need to look at the and have an awareness and understanding of all of these things to be able to help somebody actually make real changes in their lives. Whereas, like, always make a joke, it's like anybody can go onto the internet or talk to ChatGPT and get like a training plan and a nutrition plan. But like, if it was that easy, like everyone would be walking around ripped as and super healthy. But it's all of the other mindset stuff that's actually the things that is most of the problem for people. Whereas when you're able to actually start working on that mindset piece and being able to start bringing in awareness around that, supporting the nervous system, supporting an understanding of stress, and at the as I said, understanding why we do what we do, it's going to make the exercise and nutrition so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I've had like a lot of massive changes happen for me over the last few years. And if I really look at it, because I've done a lot of journaling on it over the last few years, like the thing that really started it was when I first started doing therapy in like December of 2018. And just like so many big things have happened since then, but it's like just growing that awareness of like understanding how, when I feel overwhelmed and stressed, how that impacts me and my mental health and anxiety and stuff like that has been, so powerful. And like all of the best things that have happened over the last like 5 or 6 years have come from taking the leap to go and do that, because I'd put it off for so long. And it's like, if anyone has done therapy, then hopefully they've had a good experience, first of all, but hopefully they would have. It's like just how powerful it can be to start to, like you said, unravel the layers and like see your inner child and what they kind of experience and how that impacted you when you were younger. how you kind of bring that
Yep.
forward and stuff like that. But I think that the main point I wanted to make was like a lot of people are really going to struggle to lose weight, get leaner, get fitter, get stronger. If you have any goals related to personal growth, whether it's fitness or whatever it is, it's so hard if you're just working on it and you're not looking at what's happened previously. Because there's that quote from history that I love. It's like, if you don't look at the past, you're doomed to repeat what's happened in the past if you haven't examined the past, you know, something like that. That's not the exact quote, but that's kind of the
But
idea,
true,
you
isn't it?
know.
Yeah, but I get it. No, like I love it. Like it's so true. It really is. And like even like this, for anyone that's listening to this and just like, oh, this actually sounds really interesting. Like I highly recommend go back and look at like one of the previous episodes that we've done on the 4 F's and like in the stress response. Like because like that in itself, like that was such an awesome episode because like there's so many of the clients like when they were going through certain patterns and stuff like that or feeling themselves in stress reactions. Like right, go back and actually listen to that podcast and listen to that episode and take note some notes. And it's like right, how do you respond when you're in this stressful situation? And as soon as people have a bit more of an understanding of what to look for with that, it actually just gives you so much more understanding. They're like, oh, I'm actually doing this because of X, Y, or Z. So then it's going to help you actually change it. Whereas a lot of times when you don't have any of that awareness, you see yourself self-sabotaging and then you just beat yourself up because you don't understand why you're self-sabotaging. And then like that's just kicking us when we're down. Whereas being able to start looking at this, looking at more of that holistic avenue of it, like having people like yourself there to support and guide and coach and stuff like that, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, no, definitely. So the two podcasts to go back to, there's the one podcast we did where we talked about the five types of self-sabotage. And then after that, we did one on the four F's where we talked about flight, fight, freeze, or fawn responses. That's a tongue twister. But yeah, like I was thinking earlier, you know, since I actually went back to therapy in May of this year, and I'd been putting it off for about a year, and some of the discoveries I've made about myself, even in the last 6 months, have been huge. Like some of the main ones that have come up are I have an extremely strong inner critic, and that inner critic has like just bombarded me with so much negativity for so many years, and it's had a very negative effect on my mental health, you know. But some of the really positive breakthroughs I've had over the last few months are I've got to the point now where, let's say if I, you know, just was feeling really stressed about something related to work, or I had an injury or something negative happened, when that inner critic pops up, I'm actually able to like take a step back from it. Like if you imagine, I kind of imagine it as this like black shadow, right? So it's like a separate entity outside of myself. That's like the inner critic over there. And whenever, you know, the inner critic brings in some of that negative self-talk, I can take a step back now, almost outside of myself over here, and be like, I can hear you, you know, I can understand what you're saying. But you know, what I need right now is not to beat myself up, but to hold space for me and to think like, what do I actually need right now? And most of the time, it's some type of self-care, more sleep, need to get out for a walk just to clear my head, have an Epsom salt bath, do a sauna. But it's like I've actually got to the point now where I can hold space for myself and be like, I can hear you, but that's not what I need right now. I need to hold space for, you know, something that's going to help me feel better. Because obviously beating yourself up just digs you in the hole deeper and makes you feel even worse. So that's been a massive breakthrough for me, where I can consciously be able to separate,
That's awesome, man. So good to hear. Like, and like again, like that inner critic, like it's such a big piece of the puzzle for so many people, like that you're unknowns to it. So like one of the things I love to say to people like around the inner critic, it's like the way that inner critic speaks to you in them sort of situations is like if you heard somebody speaking to another person that way, what would you say to them? And like for like, because I do a lot of work with fathers as well myself in my work, it's like if you heard somebody speaking to your kid in that way, what would you do, and how would you want to speak to your kid differently about that thing? So like, if your kid done just what you done, and like dental clinic is coming in and berating them with it, is like, how would you actually speak to your kid in that moment to help them navigate what that challenge was in a different light? And is it being able to, like, again, it's like what you're doing is removing yourself from that and just looking at it and being real. It's like, fuck, it just gives us a whole other perspective for it. And then it's like, that's where that whole like reparenting ourselves comes into play. So it's like, because it is, it's like that inner critic was there to keep you safe. That inner critic, in some shape or form, that was what you learned is going to help keep you safe and help you navigate in stressful situations. And that's why it was there for, like, it's there for a reason, but that reason doesn't serve you anymore. So it's like, how can you reparent yourself? How can you figure a different way to speak to that little part of you to help you move through that in a healthy way?
Yeah, exactly. And just as you were saying that, so I thought of one of the other big realizations I had was that it's much easier to beat myself up than it is to actually pause, take a breath, and think, what do I actually need right now in this moment, and to hold that space for myself. It's way easier to be like, oh, you're so shit, you're terrible, you should give up, all this negative stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So much easier to do that than to be like, what do I need right now? You know?
Yeah.
And that's like taken so many years to get to that point. But yeah, when you do get to that point, like, my mental health has been so much better the last few months. Even when things maybe business-wise haven't been as good, or I made less money, or not as many people re signed up, or whatever, even through that, I've been able to be much more positive. Whereas in years past, like, my mental health was just like in the bin a lot of time
Yeah.
because of that inner critic was
Yeah.
going wild, you know. So
Yeah. It's one of the things being self-employed, it's like that's personal development 101. It gets you to, it forces you to look at all of your shit.
literally have to look at all your
Yeah, it
shit.
really does. It really does. It brings so much to the surface, and like the more you're able to do, like exactly what you're talking about, like it's such a massive one. Like, and even for myself, it's like I'm back and was doing some therapy for a few months for myself, like early in the year as well, just to help navigate through again some of that inner critic, some of that's the challenge that I've been navigating, and just because it has been such a chaotic time for us, but like it's just having that sort of support, it's such a huge positive. Like, yeah, I highly recommend it for everybody.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's amazing. And just to stay on the topic of therapy, because like, I feel comfortable like sharing this, but one thing that I've been working on recently is, now that I've kind of got used to the inner critic, it's meeting my inner child from when I was like, you know, 4 or 5. So some of the therapy sessions that I've been doing, it kind of like, imagine that the black shadow of the inner critic is over here, and then the younger version of me is like over here. And then, so there's like three separate entities, you know, and obviously there's me here in the present moment. And it's just been like, you know, whenever something has come up with the inner critic, whatever negative self-talk, then it's been like, okay, like, what is the inner critic doing? What is he trying to protect the younger version of me over here from? And you know, a lot of the times it's just things like, you know, looking for connection, or, you know, like I said, to deal with stress or feeling overwhelmed or something like that. But it's been, you know, a really powerful process. So that's like some of the stuff that I'm working on at the moment. So it's been yeah, it's tough for sure. Definitely on the verge of tears at times, you know. It can be painful, you know, imagining that younger self, but it's you know, that deep work is gonna make a massive change for me for years to come. So yeah, it's just been interesting to see it, because it's easy to think like, if you do therapy before that, like, oh, I've done everything now, you know. Or it's easy to get into that mindset, even with like training or work. It's like, oh, I've accomplished everything, or I've done everything. But then there's like so much stuff you're not even aware of that you haven't got to yet, you know.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing. Like, even like, it's like not every therapist is the same, not every coach is the same. Like, it's like, oh, I've done therapy and it didn't work, I've still got the same problems. So, like, you just write it off. Or it's like, you know, therapy with that one person, you've maybe worked with a coach with this one person around this specific model. But that's why it's finding the one that works for you in the season of life that you're in. Like, it's such a big one. And I think
Definitely.
like that's the thing. Like as you're saying, it's like going back and revisiting all of this stuff. Like it's like for me, I feel like it's gonna be a never ending journey. It's like I always want. I love like working with therapists, working with coaches, working with mentors, working with people who are challenging me in this way. Because every time I go back and look at it, I'm able to look at things in a different level. Look at peel back another layer of the onion to understand things differently, and like it just keeps you moving forward. Whereas when we don't, like it just everything just stays stagnant. We just fall into that. Just pattern of just kind of just moving through things in the same way all the time, and then we wonder why nothing's changing. So I think
Yeah.
it's really cool having that. And then like just on like it's so like I love hearing like you sharing about like your inner child work that you're doing. Like I really appreciate you being open and honest with that. Like that's something like I've been looking at a lot of myself over the last few months as well, from working with my therapist and then just kind of delving a lot deeper into a lot of my own stuff around that. And one of the things that I found has been really helpful around that is looking at the inner child through the lens of the four protectors. So it's like the pleaser, the perfectionist, the avoider, and the angry defender. So like it's like this is looking at that whole aspect. It was like these are like I've nearly kind of these are different characteristic traits that pop out depending on what's going on. So like that people pleaser is an aspect of the inner child that comes out to play when we feel like it's basically when like you've been lonely, when you feel afraid, or you feel there's that fear of being abandonment, whereas like I'm not good enough, I'm not going to be liked if I do this, so I'm just going to put all of my stuff aside to do what everybody else wants of me, and that's going to get the acceptance, that's going to get the love from other people as well. But again, it's like at the end of the day, it's like when we people please, we're saying no to ourselves to say yes to other people, and that's not sustainable. Like that's going to cause a lot of conflict there. So it's looking at like that what that part of your inner child needs in that moment, and how can you feel safe and loved and get that safety and love from saying yes to you rather than other people. When we look at the perfectionist, it's looking at that. It's like again, it comes back to like that feeling of worthiness. It's like I need to go above and beyond, or else I'm not going to be loved. It's like if I fail, then my parents aren't going to like me, whatever that might be, whatever's tied in around that as well. So that's where we get caught in this trap of perfectionism and like pushing ourselves so much, because we're seeking that validation. Like when we look at the avoider, again, that's where. If you have all of these big feelings and emotions that you're not able to manage, you're not able to express in a healthy way, you have found ways to just avoid dealing with that and pushing it all away. So that's where like addiction can be high. That's where like you're looking for things like social media and all of that stuff. So it's like you're feeling all of these feelings, but instead of actually meeting them feelings and sitting with them, because that's too hard, it's like I'm just going to completely avoid and go away to another part of you. So that's your inner child seeking that self-soothing. And then the angry defender is that child who felt powerless. Like there is like it's like if I don't fight back, like they're gonna keep hurting me. So then like they created this identity around like you need to be stronger, bigger, and stronger and push back, because there was all a lot of fear around when you were growing up as well. So it's again when you look at it through that lens, it's like there's different elements of them are gonna show up in different ways. Some of them are gonna be a lot louder for certain people compared to other people, but it's a really cool framework to be able to start looking at and understanding. It's like here's that, like the avoider's coming out to play. Like, what's going on for him? What does he actually need in that moment?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely gonna take that on board and use it for sure. I wrote it down actually there. So pleaser, perfectionist, avoider, angry defender. And you know, I can actually relate. There's definitely each of those in a part of me for sure. So I
Oh,
know
yeah.
the pleaser is there for sure, because for many years I really struggled with boundaries and saying no. So that's something I've worked on a lot the last like 2 or 3 years, and I've got way better at that. Like this year, for example, like you said, being self-employed, you really have to look at your own shit and figure it out, right? So this year I was like, I think the thing that would benefit me most is if I take every Tuesday off for personal and professional growth stuff. So most Tuesdays I've been, you know, either going to therapy or doing a jiu-jitsu session, or you know, I use the Masterclass app and listen to masterclasses by like Richard Branson or different people, and just some type of personal and professional growth. So that's been a real big thing boundaries wise for me this year. The perfectionist one as well, for sure, because I was like, if I just like workloads and try and get as successful as possible, then that'll be great. I didn't understand at the time back in like 2017, 2018. that was me searching for validation and looking for other people to be like, you're doing great, you know. And but I literally just ran myself into the ground, because as things started to get better when I was doing personal training on Leeson Street, things were getting busier and busier. And there was like loads of days where I was doing like 12 sessions a day. I'd get to the gym at like 6 a.m. and then I'd finish with clients at maybe like 7:30, but I'd stay till 10 to work on ads, or so completely burnt out from that perfectionist. The avoider also can relate to a lot, because for so many years, I'd say from like 2014 up to 2019, there was like so many weekends where I'd go to like, you know, different music events, festivals, nightclubs, and that was my kind of way of avoiding things. And you know, just like becomes, you know, it's fun to do stuff like that for sure. I definitely don't regret it. It's like when you're doing it out of avoidance of things, and then not showing up to college or struggling to get up in the morning, or it affecting your mental health, then it becomes a real negative. So super interesting, you know, to examine kind of how those kind of play out. And the angry defender, I always thought I was more of the fight type, but that was actually my ego kind of soothing me a bit, because I've realized I'm actually more of the flight type. But the angry defender one I could probably relate to, in a sense of like when I was 18, that's when I started like going to the gym, and my goal was literally to get as big and as strong as possible, and did that for like a 4 or 5 year period. So yeah, it's really interesting to see how that pops up.
Like, and that's it. Like, there's so many different ways of working with it and different approaches. But again, it just looks at it just gives you different frameworks and different ways that we can look at ourselves a little bit better and just understand ourselves a little bit better. And like, when you start understanding that stuff, like you can see is like you're again bringing it back to the health and wellness. Like you're middle-aged woman, like you're got work's pretty full on, like your kids are teenagers and all the chaos that's coming of them, and like you're trying to lose weight and like your hormones are a bit out of whack and like stress is really high. You've got all of this pressure from work on you, but then you keep getting frustrated because you're not seeing the progress. But it's like soon as like this stress builds up, it's like that's where like you go into some of them avoidance patterns, or like you start looking for different ways to self-soothe, or you're caught in that people pleaser, such a big one for women of that age, whereas like they say yes to everybody else and like to feel guilty doing things for themselves. And it's like all of that stuff is what's going to be hampering your progress. Whereas if you're able to start looking at that and working on that aspect of yourself, the other stuff is going to start becoming a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. There's one lady that I was working with for like 6 or 7 months, and she was like 59. She's doing wants to do a bit of a transformation for her 60th birthday, and I was asking her like, you know, have you done many things like this before, like any programs or worked with a personal trainer or anything like that? She was like, this is literally the first time I've ever done something for myself like this in my entire life, and she got amazing results. You know, she ended up losing like 30 pounds over 6 months, and just felt so much better, fitter, stronger, mental health better, everything. But like, it had taken that many years to get to that point. And so I'd worked on her with her boundaries and figuring out, you know, like what's actually best for you, you know. And so it's really interesting how that can, you know, not be something that is just around in your 20s or 30s, but people can carry that like their
Oh, 100%.
life.
It's huge, man. It's huge. And that's the thing, like, and that's one of the reasons why, like, I loved the work that you were doing and being able to, like, how, like, we were able to merge all of it in together, because it wasn't just a fitness program. It was far from just a fitness program. And, like, there's still, like, women that were signing up thinking that's what it was. And then, like, as soon as they get into it, they're like, oh, there's actually way much more support to it than I ever imagined. And, like, yeah, it's such a big life-changing moment being able to get that support and being able to understand these things better.
Definitely, yeah. And you probably noticed that working with men as well. It's like I think the entry, the easiest way for people to kind of get into something is like, oh yeah, I want to get fitter, I want to get stronger, maybe want to lose a bit of weight. And then as soon as they start to work with someone like you or with me, then we kind of start to slowly bring in the other things. It's like, this is important, and I know you want to achieve this, but to get there, we first have to maybe do some work on, like you said, your boundaries, how you manage stress, and all of those coping pattern mechanisms maybe you have never examined before. So
Yeah.
yeah, see, because it actually kills me. I hate like putting a post being like, oh, I helped this lady lose 30 pounds, or this lady lost two clothes sizes. And I hate putting a post of that because I'm like, it's so surface level. Like it's like missing 90% of the work that we did, but that's what people kind of gravitate to,
I get so true, but like I think that's one of the things. It's like sharing the real side of it, like, and that's why I love long form content, because in like this fast paced world, like people are just constantly scrolling. There's so much similar stuff, and it's all the progress pictures and all of that stuff. But like, there's no like, you're just like, right, what? That person looks great. For like, how to change that? But it's like, right, what's changed in here? Like, what's changed in their mind? Like, how have they changed with how they see themselves, and what has went on underneath all of that as well? Like, that's where the big change is. That's where the real change comes in, I feel.
Yeah, definitely. And because you've been, exclusively or majority working with men and like with the grounded masculine, like how do you find like what's the entry point usually? Is it kind of the same where they focus on weight loss and then you start to bring in, or is there people coming in who are like
No, like it was that a lot more previously. Like, again, coming from more of like the health and wellness background, that's what I always leaned on, but so much more previously. But now, like, I've just like the way I've created like the Grounded Masculine business, it is working for, it is more towards the mindset side of things. Like, my focus is helping busy fathers look after themselves better so they can look after their families. And I think there's enough challenges that people have in that. So like, the guys are looking for that sort of stuff. Like, I do have a big component of the exercise and the nutrition side of it, but that's only one piece of the puzzle for it. Whereas a lot of the stuff like the guys are coming for is like, right, they're realizing like they're sick of getting frustrated with their kids, or they see there's a drift in the relationship with their partners and all of that sort of stuff. So it's like, right, like they need to work on that sort of stuff. But in Australia, I feel like that was so much more of an easier connection point to people, whereas in Ireland, I was leaning more on the fitness side of it, because that's just where people are. Like, it's still a little bit kind of like too far out of comfort zone for guys, I think, over in Ireland to look at the mental and emotional side of things. So like, I did in Ireland, I was focusing a lot more on the physical side, and then bringing in more of the other stuff back under the surface.
For sure. Yeah. It's like there's such a block there for most men that like, because even, a lot of partners may have never like seen their partner cry, or maybe they only ever opened up once about something that happened in their childhood. It doesn't have to be something like really bad. It could just be an experience that they found stressful, or but men are just notoriously bad opening and allowing themselves to be vulnerable. And I think that a lot of that is still there, where it's like the mentality of like, sharing something is a sign of weakness. And obviously it's not. It takes courage and strength to actually just be open about, I'm feeling shit and like, what can I do about it? It takes a lot of courage to just to be like
But like,
that.
I think that's one of the things with guys as well, like the difference between like men and women. It's like, women's relationships, women talk more about everything. Whereas that, like, if there's a group of women, like, they know a lot more of the ins and outs of each other's lives and relationships and all of that stuff. Whereas if there's a group of guys who are mates, it's like they know each other's surface level, but they don't really know much about the actual person. Like, especially if you've only met more so, like, in your, like, if you didn't grow up together, like, if you've got a certain friendship group that's more kind of like in their 30s or 40s, you're like, you know the surface level stuff of what's going on with that guy or what he does and a few of the basics, but you don't actually know much about who he is or what's going on or what he wants to do or how he wants to live or what his challenges are, because they don't talk about that. Whereas on the flip, it's like women would talk a lot more openly about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Men tend to talk about stuff and interests and things they do, and women obviously talk about stuff with that as well, but generally tend to talk more about feelings and emotions, and then it's like a deeper connection. I think that's why I've always like enjoyed working with women more over men. And don't get me wrong, like some guys that I currently work with or have worked with, amazing. But just generally, women are much easier to work with because it's easier to have that open conversation about things, and then it's easier to make change and grow as a result. Definitely, but
And that's it's funny, like, because that's one of the reasons why, like, I love, like, working with yourself, like, because, like, when I was working for, when I had my own clinic in Ireland, like, my own space in Australia previously, like, up in Perth, like, it's, like, my client base would have probably been about 70% women and 30% men. And, like, it wasn't until I became a father, it wasn't until I went through, like, my own mental challenges and, like, struggles and figured out a lot of stuff and started getting a lot of support with myself. That's where I was, like, it's, like, I went through all of that, even though I was in this space, even though I knew a lot, is like I didn't have men around me showing me another way or teaching me how to do that. So like that's what is like I want to be that person for other guys so they don't have to go through that. So then that's why I like changed the direction of the work that I was doing and then focus a lot more on men and more specifically on fathers. It's like because there was such a gap there, it's like they're like there's not enough men talking about this sort of stuff. And it's like, yes, I find it way easier working with women, but it's like to work with men is like that's something that is needed so much more. So that's what put me down that path a lot more.
definitely. You know, it's something that really strikes a chord to me. I even have like goosebumps on my arm now, like even thinking about it, because it's like, as men, you know, a lot of us really struggle to have really positive role models at different points of our lives. And something that I've noticed since I started going to jiu-jitsu, like I've been doing a mixture of classes and one-to-one coaching with my coach, but like a lot of the men that I've met and of different ages, they're like really positive role models because they just have a lot of values that are really good. You know, they're disciplined, they train, you know, on a regular basis. They're just very nice people, very welcoming. They, you know, easy to chat with. And I think that's something that's definitely missing for a lot of men, especially, you know, like the amount of men growing up that didn't have a father present for them, or their parents split up, or things like that. And thankfully, I've been very lucky. You know, like I've had my dad in my life for since I was born, and then I had a second dad because I found out about my biological father. So I have two dads now. So I've been really lucky that way. But a lot of men, obviously, they might have grown out without a father figure, and then that has a huge negative impact on them growing up. So it's, I think, so important to, you know, what you're doing, like to be able to hold space for men and to support them with that. It's like so powerful, you know.
Yeah, like it's huge, and like and I know for myself, I was like I grew up was like my dad was he was around, he was always there, like he was amazing, but there was no emotional awareness around it. There was no like no any of that sort of stuff. No healthy masculine like kind of like showing of that. Like I was the youngest of three brothers, and like it's like what I learned from them was like how to fight, but it was like and I was like I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. So like that's where it's like I had a lot of men around me growing up, but I wouldn't have seen them as like positive role models for how I want to be as a man.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of the reason why the most recent therapist that I started working with, so we've been working together for like almost 6 months. He's male, and I specifically was searching for a male therapist because I realized that that's something that I get a lot of value from, just having another positive like male role model in my life, and that's like super helpful. And it was actually quite difficult to find. Like when I went onto Google, there was like nearly everybody that was doing therapy were majority women, and I think there might have been two men that I found. And he was the one that I kind of related to most, but like it was quite difficult to do, you know. So I think there's quite a challenge there for a lot of men with being able to just to connect or find people who are kind of, you know, that kind of good role model, or someone they can just share openly with and not, you know, feel worried about them being groups there or whatever, you know.
Dude, you have to try to get yourself to one of the Nature of Man retreats over there.
Yeah, no,
Like
for sure.
it's
Is that with
like
Luke
it
in Wicklow? Is
no,
that?
not with Luke, with the ones with Jamard Ling and Michael Orion. Like it's the two of them. Like it's one thing. Like I wish that I could have got a weekend to go and spend with them, but just with a newborn and all of the other chaos that came with it, like it didn't happen. But like the work that they're doing is incredible. But like their approach of and their take of this sort of work is like I think you'd love it. Like it's such a different way. Like it's like. there's so many different ways to do everything, but it's like talking, like I got on, like met Jamer like quite a lot over there, like got on, like was really close with him, and like it's like instead of doing a team building exercise for their retreats, where I was like, oh, let's sit around, like, and everyone's gonna, like, you stand up there and like you fall back into each other's arms, and like that's like your brother's got you whenever you fall. It's like that's not what we do. It's like the way we roll is we go to a forest and we build our own camp. While you're building your camp, it's like you might one guy might be like climbing up a tree to tie a tarp around the tree, and while he's up there, there's two or three guys holding him, supporting him. And that's what real life, that's what it is. Like, and that's like how it is to be held and supported to do this, because it's that whole thing. Like, it's such a beautiful approach that they take, and like it,
Yeah.
yeah, like you'd love it.
Yeah, I must check it out for sure. Yeah, so it's really cool. I know it's like such so positive just being around people like that. Because
Yeah.
like if I think back to it, like the main thing, one of the main things that actually inspired me to restart therapy or to do therapy for the first time and just to be a bit more open was back in like 2018, I was watching Tyson Fury a lot. If you heard of him before, it's like he was like the heavyweight champ for a few years. But Tyson was basically talking about how like he had done everything in his life that he wants to do, and he had literally become heavyweight champ of the world, the most prestigious title in boxing, and like literally the day after, like was feeling miserable because he's like, that didn't make me feel how I thought it would make me feel. And he openly talked about like suicide and really struggling with his mental health. And I was like, if someone who has basically achieved it all can feel like that, then it's okay for just a normal person like me to feel, you know, struggling with my mental health, you know. So it's like that's the power of having someone who's a good role model. You know, maybe not on every avenue of life, because I definitely don't agree with everything that Tyson Fury does. Definitely not. But that one aspect for sure, I could get behind, you know, just about being open and being able to discuss how you're feeling, and it's like just so important. So I think that's a really good example of how you know you can inspire other people, you know.
And I think it's one of the things as well to say that it's like for people that are listening to that, it's like you don't have to get to breaking point to be able to get help and support. It's like, and like it's one of the things, it's like if you can choose to get support and go to therapy or like invest in a coach and have help and support around this sort of stuff, like when you're in a good position, like that's just going to get you into an even better position. You don't have to get to like a really dark point in your life. You don't have to get to a breaking point in your life. Like, and it's one of the things I always kind of bring it back to, like the simplicity of a car. It's like you don't wait for your car to be broken down in the M50 to go and get a service, but yet as humans, like we wait until something really happens to our health or our mental health that we can go and get it fixed. It's like with a car, you need to get it serviced regularly. You need to do all of these other things. But with ourselves, we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing until we break.
Yeah, I love the car analogy because I've used it for fitness and strength and health related stuff before, because it's like nearly in every aspect of your life you'll get somebody else to help you with it. So, you know, if like a pipe bursts in your house, you don't go down and be like, oh brilliant, I'm ready to fix this. Most people are like, oh shit, like the water is flooding out, like I'm not going to be able to fix this myself properly. So they ring a plumber and he comes and fixes it. Same way a car, like I love cars, but I don't know anything about them. So if like my I organized a community day about a year and a half ago, so I had an hour drive to go to Offaly, and I had like 10 clients coming to it, and I literally left by about 5 minutes, and then the exhaust in my car literally dislodged and fell off. And I got really lucky. One of the ladies who was going came and picked me up. But so I didn't think like, oh, I'm gonna fix the exhaust, because I was like, I don't have a clue how to do that. Obviously, I brought it somewhere and got it fixed. But then when it comes to, you know, whatever, losing weight, getting fitter, getting stronger, most people are like, oh yeah, I'll just go to the gym and I'll do it by myself. But there's a reason why most people buy gym memberships for a year and use it once or twice. It's because they didn't have the support to get through it. So it's the same thing, you know, like if you want to get fitter, get stronger, work with someone like me, work with someone like you. If you want to work on your
Yeah.
mental health, you can work on aspects of it with people like us, or you can do deeper work with a
Yeah.
therapist. But it's like you don't like try and fix the car yourself, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, it's a big one.
I love that analogy. But yeah, no, it's been really good to catch up, and I think we've mentioned kind of like most things over the last few, what have happened in the last few years. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of other bits as well. I wrote out a big long list of things I was just like going back over the last few years. So
Yeah.
actually, kind of, I feel like it's the right thing to do, kind of just to maybe share like some of the milestones that I've had, and maybe give people a bit more, like background and stuff. So like some of the, I mentioned therapy, in like December 2018, and that created a lot of change in that. In 2022, I decided to move from Ireland, because I was like, I knew that I needed to make like a big change. And it was probably similar for you, like when you went to Australia the first time, of just like getting
Yeah.
out of Ireland to explore new things.
Yeah.
So, that was a huge change for me. And like, I spent like 3 months in Barca and 2 months in Sicily by myself, focusing on personal and professional growth. And but then I had the realization that like, there's only so much time you can spend on training, working, sightseeing, and there's all those other hours in the day that like I just
Yeah.
felt lonely, basically. So like
Yeah.
coming back to Ireland and moving in with my girlfriend was amazing, but I first needed to like take that leap of faith and move by myself to a different country
Yeah.
to allow that growth to happen, basically. So that was something that has really, I was going this way, and because I decided to move away by myself, my trajectory completely changed. And I feel like that's
Yeah.
the best things that I've done, of the last few years. So I was really happy with that. And then also adopting Luna, we got a cat in January of 2024. That was
I haven't seen a picture shared over on social media lately. Come on, you need to keep the cat updates
Yeah, I just keep them to myself because she's so pretty and fluffy and everything, but yeah, don't worry. And I've really struggled for space in my phone, because I've just got hundreds of videos and photos of Luna, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was like a huge milestone as well. And, yeah, like I mentioned, therapy, just going back to that this year, was really happy that I did that, because I've been putting it off for so long. So there's been a lot of big changes that have happened. And I can't forget to mention, I reconnected with my biological father in like this time 2 years ago. And that was the first time I'd seen him in over 20 years. So, but we actually reconnected again back in August, and I got to meet him for the third time ever and see my sisters, my granny. And so it's all because I started therapy that allowed me to make all those changes, so it's
It's
kind of,
huge.
it's just crazy to think how like one decision to do something can really like change your path to where you could have ended up, So yeah,
Yeah.
it's pretty amazing. But what are some of the things coming up for you, like looking forward to the next year or so?
Yeah, like I think the big thing for yeah, the big like 'cause I feel like the last few years there's just been so much like I've just been like in a period of transition for so long over the last 3 or so years, like with like just spent so much time waiting for that next thing where it was like right, we had booked our holidays, we booked a trip back up to Ireland, so it was that 6 months of like winding down the business, winding down things to go back there and then settling into Ireland and then that on kind of in that limbo land of being in Ireland for a while and then are we staying, are we going, and then making a decision with it and then winding everything down, settling up and coming back here. Like it's just the last couple of years there's been so much transition and so much change. Like I said, coming back the first year back in Australia, I just want a very quiet, boring year. And it's been like that. Like it has been quiet and boring, but like it's there's been no big changes or nothing major happening. Like it's just allowing us to really sink into our family rhythm here. So like that's been big focus for myself, and like that's what it looks like for the next while as well. Like there's nothing major changing. Like I've set up a little studio doing in person kind of group classes and stuff like that here, doing a bit of body work here, as well as doing like my online coaching here, and like absolutely loving it. Like it's been so nice having that nice mix between the in-person stuff as well as the online stuff. Like it's been like that was my main intention coming back. I wanted to be able to have a space where I could do both, and yeah, like that's just really, really nourishing at the moment. So enjoying how that's going.
Yeah, I was like, when I seen your space for the first time, I was like, that is amazing. Like, so cool. Like the space that you have for training, for your computer, doing some online work. And like, I think that's such a beautiful mix between in person and online, you know. So it's really cool. So definitely, I mean, if I was close to you, I'd be going there to train with you because I think it's a great setup that you have as well, you know. So
Yeah.
just a pity that we're so far apart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. Like it's yeah, feeling pretty blessed with it. And like I think it is, like it's just that side of it is just it's been really nourishing being able to see that. And because again, we're in a small town, like it's a small enough regional town, like, and it's just having that community vibe, like it's like what you're doing with like community hikes and stuff like that. Like so you're taking it offline and having it in real life person and stuff like that. I think that's so important. So it's been really cool to have that as a little community, building or creating a little community here with the people that we're working with in the small groups and stuff. So like that's been a lot of fun, but then on the flip of that, like that, because that's there, that's nearly making me enjoy the online stuff even more because it's not all everything that I'm doing. So yeah, that's been good.
Amazing. Yeah, that's really cool. I think some of the, because I've been doing a lot of introspective, you know, work and thinking, and like the main thing that I'm focusing on for really the next year to year and a half is a really like streamlining a lot of things. So business-wise, it's just me and my social media manager, who is also my girlfriend, because she's an amazing creative and like just way smarter than me on so many things. So it's been great having her working with me and giving that support. But I think that, you know, just getting back to my roots of really just focusing on working with a lot of people one-to-one, doing group classes, giving everybody support with all the important areas, their sleep, training, food, self-care, managing stress, and just really enjoying that, you know, seeing them get results and you know, because that gives me so much satisfaction. That was a big learning curve. I realized that like the reason why I got into personal training in the first place, because I love seeing other people succeed and seeing the improvements in each area with their fitness and strength and all the other stuff. And I felt like I kind of lost that a little bit the last couple of years. So now I'm just really enjoying doing more of that. Because the thing is, a lot of like, I've been in like four different business masterminds over the past like 5 or 6 years. And what most business coaches preach is like, become the CEO of your company, delegate all your work, build a big team, have them do all of it. And I realized like that is not the reason why I got into it. I just like working with people and seeing them do well, you know. And that's not the most optimal business thing to do, but it's like that's what gives me a lot of satisfaction, what I really enjoy. So that's what I'm focusing on, you know, for the next year, year and a bit before we maybe make some other changes, you know, in terms of moving and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just kind of exciting to reestablish like what truly makes you feel
But
good.
that's it, like, and I think that's it. Like, it's like definitely like the online space is just continuously never ending changes and stuff like that. But it's like when you're able to just strip it back, it's like, right, what is it that I want to do here? Like, and why am I doing this in the first place? Like, it's so important. And like, it's again, like, I've caught in that trap as well, working with different business coaches and mentors. Like, oh, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And you're like, I don't want to remove myself from that sort of stuff. It's like, I don't want to manage people in that way, like, with all the other stuff and outsource all, like, outsource the stuff. Yeah, there's certain stuff I do outsource that I hate doing, but doing the actual working with people is like I want to know who my clients are really well, and I want to know about their lives and their families and all of that stuff. Like that's what brings me joy and being able to see the changes in that. Like it's so big.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's so important. One thing I'll always outsource will be my accounting. And I've worked with these amazing accountants the last few years, fitness industry, wealth and finance. Honestly, they've like made my life so much easier, and they're the best accountants I've ever worked with. So that's something I'll always outsource. But when it comes to one-to-one support, group classes, you know, I think that's just something that I'll always really enjoy, and seeing people succeed with that and guiding people through their journey with strength and fitness and everything else, you know. So Yeah, it's a good
Yeah.
feeling, sure. So,
That's awesome, dude.
yeah, nice. I think that's pretty lots for today. We
Yeah,
covered
we covered
lots
a
of
lot. I covered a lot of different.
definitely. Yeah, I appreciate the therapy session. You send me the invoice later, and I'll pay.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
it's good, man. Like, it's so good. Yeah, like, I appreciate it. Again, I just want to say massive appreciation for you and the work that you're doing and for the opportunity that you give me as well. Like, it's been cool.
Yeah, no, it's worked both ways. It's been a pleasure for me to work with you as well. Like, I never looked at it as like you were working for me. It was always you were working with me, and we're working together on it,
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, really amazing. So, yeah, I'll end the recording here, and sure, we can chat a bit after.
Yeah, sounds good.